Okay, so today we're diving into something truly groundbreaking. Tumor-agnostic cancer treatment. You sent over some research about this drug called T-DXd, and it's really shaking things up in the world of cancer treatment.
It's really a seismic shift in how we approach cancer. And what's incredible is that this drug doesn't care where the tumor is.
Wow.
It just cares if it has a specific target.
Okay, so that's a game changer.
It is. This is a whole new frontier. You know,
Wow.
for decades, we've categorized cancer by its
Right,
location.
breast cancer, lung cancer.
Exactly, breast cancer, lung cancer. But this changes everything.
So this target you mentioned, it's a protein called HER2.
That's right.
Can you break that down for us? What does that even mean for people who don't spend their days thinking about proteins?
Sure. So imagine like a volume knob for cell growth.
Okay.
And in some cancers, this knob is stuck on high. So that's where T-DXd swoops in. It specifically targets HER2,
Okay.
and this is the really big news. It's just been FDA approved for HER2 positive cancers, regardless of their origin.
So it doesn't matter where the cancer is, as long as it has this HER2 protein.
You got it.
That's
It
incredible.
is a major leap forward.
Wow.
For patients who have maybe exhausted other treatment options,
Yeah.
this offers a whole new avenue of hope.
Absolutely. It's like opening up a whole new playbook. And we have oncologists like Dr. Daniel King at Northwell Health who are already seeing remarkable responses in patients, especially those who had very limited options before. And this approval comes on the heels of some incredible results from clinical trials, right?
It does.
Especially this Destiny Pan-Tumor 2 trial.
So they tested T-DXd on a range of cancers,
Okay.
and the outcomes were really impressive.
And that's what led to the FDA approval.
Exactly. The results were impressive enough to warrant this broader FDA
It's
approval.
very exciting.
This is why we're seeing so much excitement in the oncology community. But to really grasp the full impact of this tumor-agnostic approach, we need to understand HER2 a bit better
Okay.
and why it's shaking things up in the world of pathology.
So let's take a closer look at HER2. You mentioned it's a protein. What does that even mean in the context of cancer?
So think of HER2 like a set of instructions on a cell's surface. And in this case, the instructions tell the cell to grow and multiply.
Got it.
But in some cancers, these HER2 instructions get amplified. It's like hitting the repeat button on those instructions.
Uh-oh.
Exactly. And it causes the cells to grow out of control.
So these cancer cells are basically hijacking HER2 to
Exactly.
fuel their
You
growth.
got it.
And we've been testing for HER2 in breast and certain gastrointestinal cancers for years, right?
We've known about its role in these cancers for a while now.
Okay.
But this tumor-agnostic approach,
Yeah.
it throws a bit of a curveball. Because now we're looking for HER2
Okay.
in a much wider range of cancers than ever before.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
And it brings up a fascinating point. We have Dr. Jason Hornick. He's a pathologist at Harvard Medical School, and he points out a crucial challenge with this whole approach. How do you even begin to standardize testing for HER2 when you're dealing with so many different types of cancer?
That's precisely the heart of the matter. This isn't a one-size-fits-all situation, right? Different cancers have different quirks,
Right.
and the way we test for HER2 can vary. It's not as simple as a yes or no answer.
So it's like solving a mystery, but the clues are different every time. So how do pathologists like Dr. Hornick make sense of it all?
Well, it's a real challenge. Dr. Hornick emphasizes that we lack clear, standardized guidelines for HER2 testing across all these different types of cancers. You know, for example, even within the cancers we regularly test for HER2, like breast, GI, or colorectal cancers,
Okay.
the scoring systems aren't uniform. So how do you interpret results from, say, a bladder cancer where those traditional guidelines might not apply?
So it's like trying to assemble a puzzle, but using pieces from different boxes. No wonder Dr. Hornick is concerned.
He's right to be. He points out that on top of this, there's variation in how labs actually do the testing and interpret the results.
Oh, wow.
So what one lab considers a positive HER2 result might be different in another lab.
And that impacts treatment decisions.
It has major implications because it directly impacts treatment decisions for patients.
That's a bit concerning. It seems like this lack of standardization could lead to people either missing out on a potentially life-saving treatment or even receiving it when it might not be the most effective option for them.
You've hit a crucial point. Reliable testing is absolutely paramount. And this is further compounded by another challenge we haven't even touched on yet, tissue scarcity.
Okay, let's break that down. You're saying that the patients who could really benefit from this tumor-agnostic approach are often those who've already undergone multiple treatments.
Exactly.
So they may not have a lot of tissue left for these tests.
Precisely. These tissue samples are incredibly valuable, especially biopsy samples.
Right.
And we have to be mindful of not causing unnecessary risk to the patient by needing too much.
Of course.
Dr. King, the oncologist we mentioned earlier, really stresses the importance of close collaboration between oncologists and pathologists.
Okay.
To make sure they're making really strategic decisions about how to use these precious samples.
So it's a delicate balance between getting enough information to guide treatment, but also not putting the patient at risk.
Absolutely.
To get that information.
Precisely.
Are there any workarounds for this?
Well, there are some clever solutions being used. Dr. Arvind Rishi, another oncologist at Northwell Health, shared that they divide a needle biopsy sample into multiple blocks.
Okay.
This allows them to conduct different types of tests, like molecular and IHC testing, on the same small sample.
That's incredible. It's like getting multiple chapters out of a single page.
Right.
But knowing this tumor-agnostic approach is so new, what's next? I mean, the approval of T-DXd feels like just the beginning. It does feel like we're on the edge of a whole new era in cancer treatment.
It is an exciting time.
It is. But you're right. This is still early days for T-DXd.
Yeah. And while the initial results are promising, you know, it's important to remember that T-DXd isn't a magic bullet.
Right. Of course.
Not everyone with HER2 positive cancers responds to it in the same way.
So figuring out who benefits most from this drug is going to be crucial.
Absolutely. This isn't a one-size-fits-all solution.
Right.
There's a lot more research to be done to identify which patients are most likely to see those really dramatic results.
Okay.
And which patients might need a different approach altogether.
That makes sense.
And then there's the exciting potential for using T-DXd in cases where the cancer cells show low levels of HER2.
Okay.
What we call HER2 low cancers.
So tumors that might not set off the alarm bells on a standard HER2 test.
Precisely.
Wow.
Early studies suggest that T-DXd could be effective for these patients, too. Yeah, potentially opening up a whole new avenue of treatment for people who previously had very limited options.
That is incredibly exciting.
It is.
It really highlights the potential of this whole tumor-agnostic approach.
It does.
But as we've been discussing, ensuring accurate and consistent HER2 testing is essential to making this a success.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned earlier that Dr. Hornick is quite concerned about the lack of standardization.
He is, and he's not alone.
Yeah.
Dr. Hornick and the Personalized Healthcare Committee at the College of American Pathologists are actually looking for solutions right now.
Okay.
They're discussing this idea of creating an online hub for biomarker testing.
Okay.
Imagine a resource where pathologists can access information on different testing methods, the latest research on antibodies and drugs.
Wow.
Basically a central point for everything related to HER2 testing.
So it would be like having a master guidebook.
Exactly.
For pathologists to help them navigate this really complex landscape.
That's the goal. To improve communication, create more standardized protocols, and ultimately ensure that patients are getting the most accurate diagnosis and the most effective treatment.
It seems like a no-brainer.
Right.
So much of this comes down to having the right information at the right time.
Exactly.
We've talked about the incredible promise of T-DXd, the challenges in testing, but ultimately, what does this all mean for someone listening to this right now?
That's a great question. I think the biggest takeaway here is the importance of being your own advocate.
Okay.
If you or a loved one are facing a cancer diagnosis, understanding your HER2 status is crucial.
Don't hesitate to ask your doctor about testing, about different labs and scoring systems, and make sure you're comfortable with the treatment plan that's being presented.
That's such an important reminder. This deep dive into tumor-agnostic treatment has been eye-opening.
It really has.
We've explored a revolutionary new approach to cancer, highlighted the critical role of accurate testing, and really glimpsed a future where treatment is tailored not just to the type of cancer, but to the individual patient.
And that's what it's all about.
It is. As we continue to unravel the complexities of this disease, one thing is clear. The future of medicine is becoming more and more personalized.
Absolutely.
Staying informed and engaged in that journey, asking questions, and advocating for yourself, those are the most powerful tools we have.
I completely agree.
Well, thank you so much for taking us on this incredible deep dive.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.